Good morning. Welcome to the Welcome Center. I'm Steve Buss, and glad to be here. We hope everyone's having a great time. And joining me up on stage is Gene Cernan, a name that's familiar to aviators everywhere. For, of course, being a NASA astronaut, being the last man to walk on the moon. But today we're going to start talking a little bit, because it is Navy, you know, the 100th anniversary of Naval Aviation, a little bit about your career in the Navy. So tell me, you know, growing up, what was your inspiration to head toward aviation? Was there a certain airplane you saw or incident or something that...
Well, with that introduction, I thought you were going to forget about Naval Aviation. You're right. It is 100 years, centennial Naval Aviation, and a lot of celebrations going around the country. We're pretty proud of that. You know, I was asked last night at the Theater in the Woods almost that same question, how did I get started? And I guess like a lot of these youngsters out here today, I got excited about aviation. I'm telling you, I go back a couple generations from what I'm looking at here. Back World War II, I was just a young 8-10-year-old kid in grammar school, and, you know, we didn't have television for any, you know, we movie-tone news at the movie theater, black and white. But I watched all these anonymous unsung heroes of their day, the Bob Hoovers, the Joe Fosses, you can name them and name them, the Chuck Yeagers, who were out there during World War II making airplanes do the impossible. I mean, they were taking those flying machines and using them in ways that I don't think anyone ever thought they were designed for. And my heart started beating, and I said, you know, I want to do that. Young kid, I did what every other young kid. I had airplanes, model airplanes hanging from the ceiling of my bedroom. I draw pictures, this kind of thing. I knew at that point I wanted to fly. Now, I just came from a blue-collar family, suburbs of Chicago. There wasn't a chance of me ever getting in an airplane, but that's what I wanted to do. But I put a caveat on it because I thought all those John Wayne movies of Wake Island and flying off aircraft carriers, that was really neat. And so my caveat was I wanted to fly airplanes off of aircraft carriers. That dream, 70 years ago, never did I believe that dream would lead me to where I could call the moon my home. So I tell young kids, you know, dream big, because you never know how good you can be unless you try.
So you ended up going to college at Purdue and kind of joined the Navy through the ROTC program, correct?
Yep, I did.
And once you graduated, you ended up in flight training.
Is that me making that noise, or is that some sonic boom out there?
No, it's even less exciting than that. It's the garbage truck.
Okay. Yeah, I did. Dreams are not just for young people. They're for adults as well. And unbeknown to me, my dad had a dream at that time. See, he never had a chance to go to college and barely finished high school. So his dream was for me to get the education he never had an opportunity to get. My dream was to fly airplanes off aircraft carriers. Those dreams converged at Purdue, and one day back in 1956, when I graduated, I had a set of orders to Pensacola for flight training in one hand, and a bachelor degree in engineering in the other hand. So our dreams coalesced at that point in time, and I think the combination of the two obviously allowed me to get where I am today. And since that, Naval Aviation is what my life has been all about. I'm here not because I went to the moon. I'm here because I'm a naval aviator. And it has impacted and affected every bit of my life since that day many years ago.
You mentioned the engineering degree. Was there some particular reason you selected engineering over any other discipline?
I got to admit, I thought engineers drove trains, but my dad wanted me to go to the finest engineering school in the country, and it sort of focused on Purdue, And I was fortunate enough to get a Naval ROTC scholarship. And I was thinking of what I was going to do after I got out. I wasn't thinking of being, quote, a practicing engineer. But I got to tell you, that education, the engineering, the technical education that I received without me even knowing it at the time, is what gave me whatever it took, besides whatever natural ability I had. It's what made me the aviator that I fortunately was able to become.
Great. So you said you had orders to Pensacola, and knowing the military, did they actually come through to Pensacola, or did they send you somewhere else?
No, every naval aviator, everyone who wears wings of gold, which includes Marines. Marines are naval aviators, by the way. Goes through Pensacola. Since day one, every naval aviator that I'm aware of has gone through Pensacola. It's a cradle. It is a cradle of naval aviation. And we have, by the way, we have, of course, the National Museum of Naval Aviation is down there, which is a spectacular place. But over the last 20, and particularly over the last 6 or 10 years, we have built what we call the National Flight Academy. And a National Flight Academy down in Pensacola is indeed a building, but we call it the USS Ambition, because as soon as you walk through the doors of the National Flight Academy, you cross the quarterdeck of an aircraft carrier. And once you are in that building, you are immersed in a modern-day aircraft carrier. The ready rooms, the bunk rooms, we had the operational rooms, the hangar deck is full of simulators. And the purpose of the National Flight Academy, quite frankly, is to use aviation as the hook to get young people's attention and make learning fun, and immerse them in a STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math, which is built around challenges that are focused on aviation. And it, making it fun, they learn things that they didn't even know they were learning in science, technology, engineering, and math. And this is a major, major program. We just christened the facility, the USS Ambition, just like you would an aircraft carrier. Next May, we're going to commission it, put it in service, and kids from 7th grade through 12th grade are the attendees. And our intent is not, although it's surrounded by a naval aviation environment, is not to make naval aviators, not even aviators, out of every kid that comes through here, through there, but to make them realize that they can do things they didn't were capable of doing, and encourage them to be willing to try, because as I said, if you don't try, you'll never know how good you can be. And we hope there's doctors, engineers, technicians, astronomers, teachers that eventually pass through the halls of the National Flight Academy. So anyway, that's another aspect of Pensacola today.
Well, and a very fascinating one, because I've been following the development of the academy there, and good to see that you'll be up and fully operational next year. The question is, where will the students come from? Just the Pensacola
students
area?
Students will come from all over the country, because in addition to the academy itself, which is like a six-day involvement course, and it's not a space camp. I think it's multitudes beyond what space camp is in terms of capability. We're using today's modern technology. We've got interface agreements with EAA, as a matter of fact, to support us. We support them in their STEM program. We got relationships with Texas A&M. We're developing with Purdue, with North Central College, with Embry-Riddle. So we're bringing a university system into this, and we're bringing the mentors and the teachers, and it, and we've got a far-reaching distant learning program where we can take pieces of this and put it in classrooms all over the country. You know, I've been a strong believer that the real legacy of the Wright brothers is not the fact that we can fly higher and faster and further than human beings have ever flown before. The legacy, and the reason you're here today, the reason there's a million people at EAA every year, the reason I'm here is that the real legacy of the Wright brothers is the inspiration that they provided into the hearts and minds of all of us dreamers who followed in their footsteps. Think about that. We're here because aviation excites us. And that's the real legacy of the Wright brothers. And we need to, and it'll be that way 200 years from now, but we need to harness that inspiration today to get young kids who are wandering through life and don't know where they want to go and get them involved. And that's, of course, one thing EAA is very, very good at.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for taking us to the Flight Academy. That was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about this morning. I'm glad we did talk about it. And if people are wanting more information, there must be a website or two.
There is a website. It's the National Flight Academy. I guess that's what it is, National Flight Academy. You can find it on the web, all kinds of information about it. As a matter of fact, Admiral Jerry Hoeing, who is our CEO and president, is wandering around here somewhere today. But it is something very serious. I got 9 grandkids, and I tell you, they go from I think 8 to 19. Well, the 19-year-olds in college already, but the others, boys and girls. I got some of them interested. I got a young daughter who's a fourth grade school teacher. I want to make her a mentor down there, and she's got ideas she can give to them, and she can take. She uses aviation and space as a motivational platform to get young third graders excited, to teach them leadership and reading and math. She can teach all these things over the platform of aviation and the excitement, the inspiration. That's why I said that's the real legacy of the Wright brothers. And that's what makes EAA what it is.
Very true. When we come back, we will pick up the story of your naval aviation career. We left off in Pensacola, but we'll do that right after we take a break. I'm Steve Buss, and we are live from the Welcome Center on EAA Radio.